Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sutta Vacha. Iti Bitak Praja Drohat. Sarva Dharma Vivitsaya. Tito Vinashanga. Tito Vinashanam Pragad. Pragad Yatra Deva Vrato Patat. Vrato pata suta uvacha iti bhitak prajadrohat sarva dharma vivitsaya tato vinashanam pragad yatra deva vrato patat. Sutta Uvacha. Sri Sutta Goswami said, iti thus, bhitaha, being afraid of, prajadrohat, because of killing the subjects, sarva, all dharma, acts of religion, vivitsaya, for understanding, tataha, thereafter, vinashanam, the place where the fight was held, pragat, he went, yatra, where devavrataha, Bhishma Deva, apatat, lay down for passing away. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sutta Goswami said, being afraid for having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaja Yudhishthira went to the scene of the massacre. There Bhishmadev was lying on a bed of arrows, about to pass away. Purport. In the ninth chapter, as it was willed by Lord Sri Krishna, Bhishmadeva will impart instructions to King Yudhishthira on the subject of occupational duties. Bhishmadev will also offer his last prayer to the Lord on the verge of passing away from this mortal world and thus become liberated from the bondage of further material engagements. Bhishmadeva was endowed with the power of leaving his material body at will, and his lying down on the bed of arrows was his own choice. This passing away of the great warrior attracted the attention of all the contemporary elites, and all of them assembled there to show their feelings of love, respect, and affection for the great soul. So Prabhupada makes an important point here that Bhishmadev is going to give these instructions as it is willed by Lord Sri Krishna. This is must be understood in all these pastimes that whatever happens is what Krishna wants to happen. And therefore, when we're analyzing motives, why somebody did this or that, basic understanding has to be that it's what Krishna wants. And that's why such and such a devotee has such a peculiar desire that manifests. It's because Krishna wanted it to happen. Krishna wanted that Yudhishthir be so attached to Dharma? This is one of the few people who accompany Krishna all the time in the material world. This is a special kind of eternal associate. The Pandavas are always with Krishna in one material world after another. They travel with him. To have such a privilege, to be in Krishna's constant entourage, even in the material world, means you must be exceptionally qualified. And what kind of qualification makes you fit to gain, to win Krishna's association? It's only purely spiritual qualification. It must be pure love. There's nothing else that conquers Krishna. Shri Krishna Akarshani Chasa. This is the unique quality, potency of prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, even plain raga bhakti, or rather bhava bhakti, cannot actually dominate Krishna. What to speak of mixed devotees, what to speak of materialists, what to speak of impersonalists, even just sincere but not yet perfect Vaishnavas cannot actually dominate Krishna. We have to, in the middle stage of practice, subordinate ourselves to Krishna's will in all ways, through subordinating ourselves to the will of Guru and Shastra, and Vaishnavas, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, we must follow. This is Vaidhi Bhakti. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitete Koriya Aika Arna Koriya Moni Ash. In the practice of Vaidhi Bhakti, we're not allowed to take the liberty of indulging our own desires. We have to subordinate our intentions, our ideas, to the ideas of the Guru and of Shastra. Tat Tenukam Pam Susamikshamana Punjena Evadmikritam Vipakam. A Majjhima Bhakta still has some karmic baggage that he hasn't yet completely given up. He's burdened by material desires and maybe even deviant behavior to some extent. So he has to acknowledge that and not pretend to be greater than he is. But the proper behavior and attitude of such a Majjhima Bhakta, Vidbhagpapur bir vidanam namaste. He must always have a subservient mood. Even if he's a devotee, you know, in the environment of Raja, where everything is very familiar with Krishna, that it's not so much reverential, still it must be submissive on the level of Vaidhi Bhakti, on the Majjhima level. Vidadan namaste, always offering our obeisances to Krishna, never talking back to him. That's not our business in the Majjhima level. To disagree with Krishna's opinion, with the Guru, with the Shastra, that's not the privilege of a Majjhima Bhakta. But sometimes the perfect devotees, because they can dominate Krishna by their love, they can even disagree with him. Arjuna disagreed in the 7th chapter. Krishna told him, kill Ashwatthama immediately. And Arjuna didn't do it. Instead, he turned Ashwatthama over to Draupadi. So Yudhishthir was told by Krishna, tell a lie, and he hesitated. And also, here Yudhishthir seems to be manifesting material attachment to the principles of Dharma. He's so interested in Dharma that even Krishna could not convince him to accept the throne. Vyasadhyaya Ishwarehe Gyai Krishna Nadbhuta Karmana Prabodhito Api Itihasaya Nabudhyata Shacharpita. He was so caught up in his attachment to Dharma that he couldn't stop lamenting over having committed this prajadroha. The word can be understood both ways, that he committed violence against his own citizens, whom he's supposed to be protecting, by killing all these other kings. His own citizens and the citizens of the other kingdoms suffer because of all the kings having been killed. Especially the wives of all these men are suffering. So he's committed violence. And also droha means enmity, just the attitude of, you know, droha can just be an attitude, even if you don't lift a finger against anyone. It, just an inimical attitude is also droha. So the citizens are angry at him as he sees it, that there's so much hatred against him. Strinam mud hatabandunam yo droho so holdita karma be this droha, and it's not violence. The women are not, you know, throwing rocks at him or trying to assassinate him. There's no physical violence, but they're angry at him for killing their husbands. And so he's saying, performing Asher made a sacrifice isn't going to atone for this. I can't wipe away the hatred of the women by performing some ritual sacrifice. Maybe the demigods will be pleased, but these ladies are not going to be pleased by my Ashwamedha sacrifices. They're still going to be angry at me. So this is the Prajadroha. He committed violence against his own citizens and the innocent citizens of other kingdoms by killing their kings. And they're angry at him. Especially the widows are hating him. So he cannot tolerate that. This is adharmic as far as he's concerned. And his first principle in life is adhere to dharma at all costs. It's irreligious for a king to do any harm to his unjustified harm to any of his own citizens. They're his dependents. Any more than the same way it's a crime for a parent to do violence to the child. You can spank your child, but you can't beat him half to death without breaking the law. So the king may have to punish some citizens, but this kind of what we call genocide these days, you know, if you want to talk about war crimes, genocide, look up how much slaughter Yudhishthira was responsible for. You know, he could be taken to a war crimes court. And that's how he's feeling, that I'm a war criminal. I've committed genocide. I've committed violence against my own citizens and the citizens of the other countries. So he's afraid of what can make Yudhishthira afraid. He's not afraid to stand up against Bhishma Dev in battle and against all the other great warriors combined. He's not afraid of the material world. He's afraid of violating the duties he has as a king, of violating dharma. And he's convinced that he has done it. He's violated his principles by allowing this battle to go on for his own sake. And Krishna could not change his mind. Krishna is the supreme authority, and he's an eternal devotee of Krishna, and still he ignored Krishna's instructions and didn't change his mind. Krishna tried to convince him. His brothers and his wife tried to convince him. Other sages, Vyasadeva and other sages, tried to convince him to put aside this sentimental idea and do his real duty of now ruling as the king. None of them. He could convince them, not even Krishna. So here's a great devotee of the Lord ignoring the orders, the instructions of the Lord. But it's only because it's willed by Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna himself wanted this to happen. He wanted that Bhishma Dev be the one to enlighten Yudhishthira, not himself. Another pastime arranged by Krishna's Yogamaya to please Krishna and his devotees. So he went back to the battlefield. Bhishma Dev had been abandoned left behind, when usually when a battle's over, the ones who are dead, you just leave there. Oh, you know, you take care of their funerals, but the battlefield is abandoned. You don't, you know, except for the dead and dying, no one stays on the battlefield once the battle is done. So everybody went back to the kingdom, back to the capital, and there was Bhishma Dev lying by himself for several weeks on the battlefield. There's no question of moving him to a hospital in that condition. When you're stuck with hundreds of arrows, you can't be moved. So they left him there. Now he's going back to get some instructions. Bhishma Dev, it's understood, is not going to leave his body until he wants to. He could lie there for months or years. Actually, he's simply waiting for Yudhishthira to come, as he knew he would, to get these instructions. This is his last mission in life, is to impart instructions in all kinds of dharma. Sarva dharma vivitsaya. This is actually the culmination of Yudhishthira's life. That's what he wants to know, is everything about dharma. Just like someone who's a fanatic about, you know, computers wants to know everything about how the computers work. So Yudhishthira is the ultimate, you know, dharma hacker. You know, he wants to know everything about dharma. And who can tell him everything about dharma? There are sages who have written dharma shastras, but they're very exceptional sages. No ordinary person can know everything about dharma. The best most of us can do is understand what our individual, our own duties are. But to understand all sorts of duties for all sorts of people, that's a great specialty, and only a very rare soul like Bhishma can be such an authority on all kinds of dharma. The ordinary Brahmins, they have to consult. They have the books to look at, the Dharma Shastras, to look things up. Even lawyers, in traditional Indian jurisprudence, the lawyers would go to the Dharma Shastras for reference, to see how to judge a certain case. Reference to the books was required for most ordinary people. But only those who are specially empowered can actually know, have in their hearts and their minds, the whole compass of the principles of dharma. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gatak sapanta. Only a few very great mahajanas know everything about dharma, about the duties of human beings in the material world. Of course, there is the highest dharma, Atma Dharma. Jivir Swarup Hoi Krishna Nitya Dasha. The real dharma, the ultimate dharma of the living being, is to function as Krishna's eternal servant. And that is the dharma of the spiritual world. There are thousands and millions of religious principles, dharmic principles in the material world. In the spiritual world, there's just one. Krishna should be happy. That's the one and only principle of dharma in the spiritual world. And everything everybody does is very simply ruled by that imperative. Let Krishna be happy. There's no need for other rules and regulations in the spiritual world. Impelled by love, pure devotees naturally do the right thing in all circumstances, in all kinds of circumstances, even the most puzzling and complex. A pure devotee who is impelled by love for Krishna knows spontaneously what to do, what is right to do. There's no need to teach him other principles of dharma. It's only in the material world that this is required. And for those practicing Shuddha Bhakti in the material world, dharma is also pretty simple. Smartavyam satatam Vishnur vismartavyo najato chit sarva vidhi nishedaksyur etayor eva kinkaraha. there are two ruling principles for those who are practicing Vaishnavas. Try to always remember Krishna. It's a struggle for neophytes. And try to never forget him. All other religious principles, all other duties, injunctions and prohibitions, vidhis and nishedhas, are slaves, servants of these two. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. But for those who are not on that path, who are not seriously endeavoring to always remember Krishna and never forget him, maybe they, you know, think of Krishna once in a while on special occasions, or when the, you know, the whim suits them, they think a little bit about Krishna. But that's not actual practice of Shuddha Bhakti. For those who don't think about Krishna much, don't try very much to think about Krishna, or don't think about him at all, then such people have to be ruled by ordinary principles of Dharma, and then life gets complicated. Then there are so many rules to follow. In the Dharma Shastras, there are hundreds and hundreds of rules given by Manu Smriti in his Dharma Shastra, Manu. Hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe over 1,000 different rules for different kinds of people. And if you're a Brahmin, you have lots of rules. And you have to remember them and adhere to them, otherwise you're fallen. If a Brahmin brahmachari accidentally drinks water out of a bottle that had liquor in it, in the marketplace you can get nice, sugar water with colors in it, and you know, in the springtime they'll start selling in a few days. And I'll even put noodles in it for you, you know, semiya, for 1 rupee, and I'll put ice in it. It tastes nice, but watch out, those bottles, some of them are whiskey bottles that they're serving the juice out of. And if a brahmachari drinks out of a container that had alcohol in it, then he's fallen. He has to take his Gayatri initiation over again. He has to retake his Upanayanam because, as an atonement, he's fallen just by that. So there's so many rules. Just for, you're thirsty in the summer, you take a drink in the marketplace, you got to get reinitiated. The Gayatri Mantra. And what to speak of something even worse, you'll have to, kill yourself or drink lead or something, hot molten lead. There's so many atonements that have to be performed for so many different infractions of Dharma. Especially for a Brahmin, especially for a Brahmachari. Life is much more complicated for those who are not seriously engaged in the practice of Shuddha Bhakti. And there are countless principles of religion that must be followed. It's simpler for the Vaishyas and Sudras. You can't expect much from them. But for the Kshatriyas and Brahmanas, who are not practicing pure devotional service, there are many, many rules and regulations, vidhis and nishedhas. Even in the Jewish religion, those who follow strictly the injunctions of the Talmud, they've got 700 and something, they call them mitzvahs, but these are vidhis and nishedhas, things they have to do or else they're in Maya, they're fallen. It's much more complicated even than the ordinary karmakanda. But Bhishma Dev was expert about all such principles of Dharma. Sahasranir. He was an expert in thousands of subjects. Just the right person to get these instructions from. Of course, Yudhishthira has his personal affinity to his teacher and protector, Bhishma, who protected him from childhood. From infancy. But also, Bhishma is the perfect teacher for what Yudhishthira needs and wants to know. Okay? He's already conquered the kingdom, but still he wants to learn. We think that if I can pass the test and graduate and get a job, that's the end of it. I'll forget everything I learned because I don't need it anymore. I graduated, I got my employment, I'm set. But Bhishma, or rather Yudhishthira, even though he doesn't have to go to school anymore and take any tests, Still, he wants to acquire knowledge, more knowledge about Dharma. And he probably knows more about Dharma than anybody else on the face of the planet except for Bhishma. Still, he wants to know more. He wants to learn more. That's good, but it's also an obsession. But that Krishna wants him to be obsessed with Dharma. He wants Yudhishthira to have this peculiar personality. It's for the purpose of adding to the pleasure of Krishna's pastimes. Hare Krishna. Okay, so any questions or comments? Yes, Sarvakapa. It's over here.
Yudhishthira, he is known as Ajatashatru, one for whom his enemy wasn't born, but at the same time, because of killing of so many kings, their wives, they felt some enmity towards him.
Well, he's thinking that. He's thinking that. I'm not sure if he's right. I mean, you know, we weren't there. Nobody took a popularity, you know, a survey, you know, to see, you know, how many women were angry at Yudhishthira. I don't think they were as angry as he thinks, because everybody has great respect for Yudhishthira. I don't think he blames himself. I don't think the citizens really blame him. They want him on the throne. He's reluctant, but I think everybody else wants him on the throne, even the widows. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. I want to ask about this. I told that rule, always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna.
Yes.
Can you explain what is different between these two? And
what's the difference?
And why, well, there is two, like
you can
always.
You can argue logically that there's no difference between the two. If you're always remembering Krishna, you're not going to forget him. And if you're forgetting him, you're not remembering him. Of course, they're equivalent. It's really for emphasis. It's poetic, dramatic effect. It's a poetic device to be redundant like that intentionally. You know, just like, you know, the statement that there's nothing in Kali Yuga, there's no other success in Kali Yuga. Nastir Gatir, was it? Hadir Nama, Hadir Nama, Hadir Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nastieva, Nastieva, Nastieva. Why do you have to say it three times? For emphasis. So even though there's real no difference between always remembering and never forgetting, it's for emphasis, for poetic emphasis, that it's said both ways.
Why everyone is saying like this, you know, there is two rules, you know, always remember Krishna.
Well, the statement is, etayor, of these two rules. If you want to remember something, better remember it twice. So we can remember it as two, even though it's only one rule, if we remember it as two, we might, you know, take it more seriously. Yeah. I've got two rules to think about. Even though it's the same rule twice, better we think about it twice, 10 times, 100 times. It's a device for remembering, for being impressed and keeping it in your memory, that there's two important things. Always remember it, don't ever forget. Also, the mind does different things. So you really have to deal with your mind in both ways, positively and negatively. So there is actually two different functional principles, because you're thinking about some irrelevant thing. You have to tell your mind, don't think about that, right? But if you just do that, your mind will be empty and agitated. I mean, you know, what am I going to think about then? So you have to second tell your mind, okay, think about Krishna. So really there are two different activities involved. You know, taking away, because irrelevant and bad thoughts come to the mind. We have to remove them. And thoughts about Krishna, if we're still neophytes, don't automatically come to the mind. We have to impose them. Or someone has to help us impose them on our mind. A neophyte has to struggle to remember Krishna, because his mind is going off in all directions. But an advanced devotee, the more advanced he becomes, he has to struggle to forget Krishna. He can't forget Krishna, even if he wants to. But at that neophyte level, we do have to, you know, struggle in both ways, to kick out the bad thoughts and then put the good thoughts about Krishna in. It really is two activities, even though logically it's only one.
Thank you.
Okay. So yes, we should write down those two rules, and tie them around our neck, or you know, keep them in mind all the time. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.